Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on living in perilous times was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are the verses I started with last night and I used them again this morning. I want to just read this one more time. I felt like God told me to minister on these verses this week. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," talking about not loving family, "truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And the strange thing is, verse 5 says, "They have a form of godliness." Most of those things are so contrary to godliness, you would think that this is descriptive of God haters, people that are in total rebellion. But these are people who have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Well, that's some amazing statements. And we talked about that last night, went through every one of these 19 things. This morning I turned over to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God." And I made a connection here that when it says that we are denying the power thereof, this is talking about people that do not understand the gospel. And I spent this morning trying to describe and identify the gospel. It's talking about the nearly too good to be true news that we now have relationship with God through what Jesus did for us and not proportional to our goodness. And you know, I could talk about that for the rest of this meeting, for next week, for next into the next year. This is things that most people just don't understand. And I love talking about it. That's what I preach on the vast majority of the time because I think it's one of the most missing ingredients. But I'm going to move on tonight to something else. But I've got all of my material really is on this one thing. The teaching on "You've Already Got" is about this. I've got teaching on the true nature of God that harmonizes the Old Covenant law with the New Testament grace. The Old Covenant law was performance-based and it did make God moving in your life proportional to how you kept the laws and fulfilled things. And most people have a law mentality, and yet that is not the way that God wants to deal with you today. You have to understand why the Old Testament law was the way it was and the fact that it is now done away with. Thank you for both of those amens. And most people, when you say that the Old Testament law is done away with, they just immediately bristle like, "Oh man, this isn't true." And yet that's exactly what the Bible talks about. I just got through with a series that I did in Boston from the book of Hebrews. And man, there are some strong, strong statements about that which is old is now ready to decay and wax away. It has been disannulled. The word annul means to completely void. The word disannul means it's just to strengthen. It means to demolish. The Old Testament law has been demolished. It is not for the New Testament believer. And if you don't understand that, please get some of those materials. The one entitled "The True Nature of God" would really explain that and help you. But what I want to do tonight is go to another thing. It says that we deny the power thereof. I want to talk to you about what the Bible says about power out of Acts chapter 1. Let's turn over here and look at this passage. This is right as Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth and caught up into heaven. Matter of fact, that's recounted right here in Acts chapter 1. And before he left, he had his disciples assembled and they began to ask him questions. And let's just read some of this. In verse 4, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, his disciples, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, these people had already been born again. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And there's many examples of this after the resurrection of Jesus. But in John chapter 20, it makes it very clear that Thomas saw Jesus resurrected. And he had told the disciples when they told him that they had seen Jesus risen from the dead. He says, "Unless I can see and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And 8 days later, Jesus showed up in the room with the doors locked, and he just all of a sudden was inside. And when he saw Thomas, he walked right up to Thomas and he says, "Thomas, put your finger into the print of the nails and thrust your hand into my side and be not faithless, but believing." The scripture doesn't say that Thomas ever did it. When he saw Jesus and Jesus came right up to him knowing what he had said when he wasn't present, he finally believed that time. And he fell on his face and he said, "My Lord and my God." Again, Romans 10:9, "If you shall confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." He said, "My Lord and my God," and he was talking to him resurrected from the dead. So we know that he had to be born again right that moment. You confess the risen Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. So he was already saved, and yet here is Jesus telling Thomas and all of the rest of the disciples, don't depart from Jerusalem until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Man, that's just as clear as I can make it, that there is a difference between being born again and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people don't make the distinction because we use the word baptism. You know, the word baptism is actually a transliteration of a Greek word, baptizo. And back when the Bible was being translated, they sprinkled people in baptism when they came as converts, and they sprinkled people, and that was the tradition. And when they went to translating the scripture, they couldn't translate baptizo because it means to dip, to immerse, to submerge is what it means. It doesn't mean to sprinkle. And so it violated their tradition, and so rather than translate it, they just transliterated it. They brought the Greek word into the English and created a word called baptized. And people, you know, say, "Oh, well, we baptized by sprinkling," or "we baptized by immersion." And that's the reason that this word came up. So it's a word that really does not communicate everything exactly, but it just basically is saying that you are immersed into the Lord at salvation. The scripture talks about that you are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. But then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. There's different elements that we're being baptized into. There's different persons that are doing the baptism. There are multiple baptisms. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, when it talks about the verse 1, about the doctrine of baptisms, plural. So when you get born again, you are baptized into the body of Christ, Romans chapter 6, verse 3. But this is talking about a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is only available to people after they are born again. These are born again people. Jesus is telling them, don't leave until you receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how the vast majority of people I speak to say, "Oh, well, I believe I got all that when I was saved." These people were saved and they did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not automatic that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you get born again. It is a separate experience. It was in the Bible and it is today. In verse 6, it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Most people in Jesus' day believed that when Jesus came, when the Messiah came, that he would just put an end to this carnal rule over people, and he would establish his kingdom on earth. And there was reason for that, because the Old Testament prophesied the first and the second coming of Jesus usually together. Like, for instance, in Isaiah chapter 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering his sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus quoted that in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, but it goes on to say in Isaiah 61, 2, right after it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. See, it ran the first coming, which was to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the second coming, when God is going to bring vengeance and establish his kingdom, it ran them all together. There wasn't even a period. It wasn't even a different sentence. It just ran them all together. And so because of this, most people expected Jesus, the Messiah, to establish the physical kingdom. And that's what they're referring to. They knew that here he was, risen from the dead. He was talking about going back to the Father. And they were confused about, well, when are you going to establish the kingdom? And here's Jesus' answer. In verse 7, he says, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." In Mark chapter 13, I forget what verse, around verse 23 somewhere, Jesus said that even the Son doesn't know the day that the second return will come. The Father is the only one that knows that. Even the Son, even Jesus doesn't know the day of his second coming. But the Father only knows that. No man knows it. Jesus doesn't know it. When anybody tells you that there's 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988, just write Ichabod over their head. Some of you weren't around during that, but there was a guy that wrote a book and got millions of people to buy into it and send him money, prophesying that the second return of the Lord would come in 88. When it didn't happen in 88, he wrote a book that said 89 reasons why the Lord is coming in 89. And there's people that bought that book. How dumb can you get and still breathe?
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to live through perilous times. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM232 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.
You know, the things that I'm sharing are just like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much to this, and that's the reason we have our website. That's the reason we have all this product that we're advertising. But you know, really, the very best way I have for you to get established in this is our Charis Bible College. And I know that some people think, well, I can't move and come there. Well, you know, probably more of you could do it than what you think. But even if you can't come here, we have different Bible colleges spread throughout the United States and other countries. We have distance learning, video correspondence course. We're in the process of establishing it over the internet. There's a lot of ways you can take advantage of it. So please call and inquire about our Charis Bible Colleges.